This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
We're back. Welcome to Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Pololo and Josh Jordan. Of course, you can follow them over on X at Pololo and at JoshJordan975. And in between our podcast episodes here, you can read their blogs covering the Texans, Astros, and Rockets over on sportsmap.com. On our first episode of the preseason, we're going to get you caught up, what's happened so far, what we're looking forward to, what we're excited about. So Josh and Charlie are going to get you all caught up on those things. Josh and Charlie speaking. Welcome in. Texans lose the preseason opener against the Vikings. Results really don't matter. We know that. But what did you guys see, or what were your observations in that first live action of the 2025 season?
Well, no major injuries in game, right? I think the story of the preseason thus far has been the two major injuries they've suffered with practices. I mean, really have to feel for Brevin Jordan, who wasn't absolutely essential in the tight end mix, but after a torn ACL week two last season, another season-ending injury before we even get to the bell ringing to start this season, and that it looks like the Texans tap on wood, dodge the proverbial bullet with C.J. Gardner-Johnson when the fear was, notable fortification pickup for the secondary, knee injury at practice. You know, if he's not back by opening day, at least not too far into the season. The games themselves just remind me how tedious preseason football is. Vital for the guys who are trying to make the team and can make an impression. The defense, broadly, almost everything is exciting about it. I think it's clearly still the stronger side of the football for this team. Danielle Hunter is creeping into his mid-30s. Well, he was spectacular in his first season and got a $35 million one-year contract extension. If he doesn't fall off, Hunter and Will Anderson, maybe this is the season where they're acknowledged as the best 1-2 D-line pass rush hell-raising combo in the NFL.
Yeah, for me, it was kind of more about the offense in this preseason game, because I expect the Texans defense to be good again. I think they're going to be even better than last year. So I'm not worried about them as much. My big takeaways from that preseason game was Davis Mills looked really good. So that's a good sign that, if God forbid something happens and you need him for a game or two, he might actually give you a chance of managing the game and you coming out with a win. That's big in the NFL. I thought the O-line definitely showed some improvement. It seemed like they knew what they were doing, who to block. They seemed more confident in their assignments, and they just looked a little more physical. So in Ursary, their rookie, I think he's looked really good. So I think that's going to end up working out for them. And who knows? They keep shuffling this line just pretty much every day. So it's hard to know for sure if he's going to be your starter or not. But, we know that, Fisher's really struggled in camp. So I don't expect him to be the right tackle the way things are going right now. We'll see. There's still a little bit more time, but as it's been going so far, it might be Ursary. It could be Titus Howard. It's not a lock that he's at right guard. He's been getting reps at tackle too. So this is still kind of a work in progress as they try and figure out their best guys to start. My other takeaway is Braxton Berrios, nice touchdown catch. It'd be interesting to see if he makes the team. Jalen Knoll had a nice little catch and made a move and picked up a first down, one of your rookies. I think he's going to play a big role this year too. So overall, I thought you saw good signs from the offense. And like Charlie said, you come out of that game without any major injuries. That's the most important thing this time of year.
Yeah, if Berrios makes the team, it's probably on the back of them anointing him their number one punt returner. And then if he's wide receiver number five, that's okay. Look, it largely rides with the offensive line, refurbished, overhauled, whatever we want to go with. It's not specifically a major indictment of Blake Fisher if a second-round draft pick a year later is a better player, and Ursary keeps him to the bench. But if Fisher's not looking good on his own merit, you'd hope a player in year two at least would be in the mix to start somewhere in the offensive line as they try to identify their five best offensive linemen, and then you fit the pieces together as a unit, right? Cam Robinson as a lockdown left tackle. Juice Scruggs, second round pick a couple of years ago, not projecting as a starter at this point. So, you know, they put a lot of chips on the table in bringing in Laken Tomlinson and Trent Brown and Ed Ingram. Can it coalesce into a five-man unit you're saying is at least solidly average in both pass protection and run blocking?
Yeah, and let's stay on the O-line for a second because, you know, obviously we have yet to see Trent Brown as he remains on the PUP list. Josh, you gave us a nice rundown on the O-line. Look, we've talked on this channel ad nauseum about the need to protect C.J. Stroud and also being better at creating running lanes for their backs. Do you see this team? What are the odds that they can get the job done this year? And if they can't, how big of an indictment on Nick Caserio is that he's been unable to put a line in front of Stroud?
Yeah, especially if it turns out multiple high draft picks don't do it, right? His first round pick, Kenyon Green, total bust. Scruggs, second rounder, role in the scheme, iffy. Blake Fisher, second rounder, role in the scheme, iffy. I mean, Laken Tomlinson has graded out as a middling starter. Cam Robinson did not grade out well, the Pro Football Focus types, after he went from Jacksonville to the Vikings in the middle of last season. So, yeah, it could be the big ugly wart on Nick Caserio's face, which otherwise is pretty in terms of how they've built their roster, and you know, particularly defensively, the depth that they have pretty much at each level, D-line, linebackers, and particularly in the secondary. You know, it's a quarterback league first. C.J. Stroud has sufficient weapons if Joe Mixon is going to be right. But it begins, and to at least some extent, ends with the offensive line. I think it's a bit strong to say C.J. Stroud got the yips last season with the porous protection so often. But his sophomore season, I'm not going to say sophomore jinx, it's not like he was bad, but he clearly was not as good, not nearly as good as he was as a rookie. So most important for the Texans, right? 10-7. You win a weak division. You win a home playoff game and then get blown out in the division round, Kansas City and then Baltimore. Is there a leap to be made? It starts with C.J. Stroud. Well, to have the real opportunity to get there, the offensive line just needs to be better. At the end of this season, right, C.J. Stroud's going to be looking for $65, $70 million per year in his quarterback extension. And if anyone's saying, what? Right, we're in the 55 to 60 level. The cap is only going up. That's the floor for what C.J. Stroud. Dak Prescott's 60. The first tier of quarterbacks in the AFC, C.J. Stroud is not in it. Right, it's Patrick Mahomes. It's Lamar Jackson. It's Joe Burrow. And it's Josh Allen. You can pick the order. C.J. Stroud does not run with that lead pack of dogs. If at the end of this season we're saying, now he does, well, then maybe the Texans break through and are playing in an AFC championship game.
Or yeah, and it could very well happen, right? A lot of guys take a big step in year three across the league. It's especially a big year for receivers. For quarterbacks, it's got to be even better because I think Kaylee coming in and being the OC, a new offensive line coach, a new voice, I think that's going to make a huge difference. Just guys knowing who they're supposed to be blocking, I think that's going to make a huge difference to protect CJ. And keep in mind, Stroud had it tough last year. Not only that bad O-line, lost Nico Collins, his number one receiver, lost Stephon Diggs, his number two receiver, lost Tank Dell, his number three receiver. I mean, that is a lot of guys missing throughout the season. And I think that's why, you know, CJ played a little better towards the very end when he had Nico back. Obviously, it helps when you have an elite wide receiver to throw to, but now I think he has a full complement of weapons. I'm really excited about what they're going to do with these receivers. I think Cade Stover could also do something for you at tight end catching passes, and they're going to need him now with Brevin Jordan going down. And I think Dalton Schultz might take a step forward. Just I think this offense might fit him a little bit better. They can scheme him open. They're paying him a lot of money, so it'd be nice to get something out of Schultz.
Amen to that. So let's move from the guys who create the holes to the guys who run through them. Charlie, you mentioned the Joe Mixon, the status of his foot's obviously in question. They hope he's ready for the season opener. Damon Pierce is back, but look, outside of his rookie season, has been really unimpressive as a running back in the league. New addition, Nick Chubb, has looked okay in camp before that concussion, but hopefully he's okay and it's just a blip. What do you guys make of this group of backs?
Good, not special. I mean, Mixon was extremely impressive last season, making something out of nothing quite often. It lost some action to the ankle problem. He needs to get right. I don't care at all if he's not playing in the preseason. If he was 100% healthy, I wouldn't have him touching the ball in the preseason. There's no reason for Joe Mixon to be on the field at all in games that don't count. Chubb, I mean, legendarily tough is maybe a little bit hyperbolic, but he's considered a tough guy, great guy in the locker room. But with the injury history, I just don't think he can be the lead mail carrier. You mentioned Pierce, the other guy in the running back room, right? Woody Mills, who profiles as a little pass-catching, quick guy. You know, how will they choose, or will they choose to work him in there? But if they don't have Joe Mixon, I don't think they have a full-time starting caliber running back.
Yeah, I mean, it's Joe Mixon. Hopefully he's back by the start of the season. Last year he didn't do much in camp either, so that's not a concern. This guy's a veteran player. He knows what to do. Nick Chubb, there were some reports that there wasn't a lot of burst early in camp. That people were like, I'm not so sure. But as camp's gone on, the reports I've seen have said, hey, it looks like he's looking a little better. It looks like the speed's starting to pick up a tick. So that's good news. Yeah, Damian Pierce, you're right, Brandon. He had that one good year. He's just kind of a hammer, and he runs into his own guy a lot too. I just don't think the vision is at a very high level. So, but they're going to have to go with, you know, who they go with. And if Mixon's not available, there's a reason they signed Chubb, right? They have to have some kind of concerns about Joe Mixon, or they wouldn't have got that insurance with Chubb, or that tells you they really don't feel good about Damian Pierce too. But CJ Stroud needs Joe Mixon. He's a big part of this offense. You saw what he did last year, and if this offensive line actually does improve and Mixon has some bigger holes to run through, that could be huge, especially when you have a really good defense. If Mixon and the O-line can pick up first downs at the end of ball games, that's a recipe for success right there. And you know that's what D'Amico wants to do. He wants to take the air out of the football at the end of games and win it with his defense.
It seems like every time they've brought in a back, that back leapfrogs Pierce in the depth chart. It's just really insane to have seen it. And given what we saw out of him during his rookie campaign, you just thought, wow, they struck gold with this guy. And then it's just, he's never really been able to recapture that magic. But I'm with you on Mixon. If they can produce any sort of holes on the offensive line for him, the guy was a Houdini making something out of nothing last season. If they can actually give him something to work with, some seams to run in, I think he could be really productive. We could really see a nice step forward from him. Let's go back to defense for a little bit. Obviously, we touched on the CJ Gardner-Johnson stuff. I mean, he had obviously the scare of all scares in training camp. In the span of about 24 hours, it went from a rumored Achilles injury, then ACL tear, and then after tests, the ACL is intact, and he could be ready for the opener sometime subsequent to that. Christian Harris is back from the calf injury. Houston also added EJ Speed, who's turned some heads in camp. Charlie, you touched on the edge rushers, but what are some other things you're excited about on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, the secondary, right? If Derek Stingley Jr. has another healthy season by the end of this season, maybe he's considered the best cover corner in football. Right? Patrick Surtain Jr. has a little bit longer resume to this point. But Stingley went past Sauce Gardner, his draft classmate, last year. I mean, he's just tremendous. The ball skills, everything. He's a prototype elite corner. And then you just round it out. Kamari Lassiter was a little bit of a mixed bag, but it was a good rookie season. And you throw in Bullock with his picks. Jalen Petrie had a really good third season after second season. Gardner Johnson gets back. I mean, that's a quintet that you're thinking stacks up with just about anyone else in the NFL. And as we've noted over the last couple of years, the basic defensive alignment now, or the most used defensive alignment in the NFL, is 4-2-5. You know, the nickel is going to be on the field the bulk of the time. And so Gardner Johnson gives them that fifth guy. They pick up another ex-Eagle as insurance. Man, can the Texans add any more Jalens and Jadens? They're muck with them. You know, what Mills has left at this point, you know, as a depth guy, who knows with Jimmy Ward's stuff off the field, does he even make the team? But the guys who should be their five-man secondary, whew, that looks stacked.
It does. And I saw some reports, too, that, you know, Petrie could also go back to playing some safety for you from time to time. So that could make some sense, right? If Gardner Johnson's not quite back yet, on some plays you could play Petrie at safety. And then remember, you drafted Jalen Smith out of USC to play nickel corner for you, and you have some other corners on the roster. So I think if they get forced into a situation where they don't have Gardner Johnson, it's at least an option if they wanted to move some of these guys around until Gardner Johnson gets back. And then Christian Harris is just a big one for me. If you can get him healthy, he's so fast and just he jumps off your television when he plays. But that's the problem when he plays, right? He's always so banged up. But if they can get him and him with EJ Speed, I mean, these are some talented guys that can really run. And then you got Al Shire. It's a pretty good group right there. So, you know, it's not perfect. But I'll take that. But the defensive line is amazing. So as long as the linebackers are good, and I think the secondary, like Charlie said, could be elite, this is going to be a good defense. They're not going to lose a lot of games because of the defense this year, in my opinion.
Well, let's get to the next game in which the results really don't matter. What will you have your eyes on in Saturday's matchup with the Panthers?
Well, it's always fun when you get a chance to see Cam Newton play. Oh, wait, that's the last time I was engrossed in a preseason football game. You know, before and now that it's just a three-game preseason, it's not even the dress rehearsal game anymore where traditionally teams, the next to last preseason game, hey, we might have our starters play into the third quarter. I just don't think there's going to be any of that. C.J. Stroud maybe a little more of a cup of coffee, you know, a couple extra sips. And defensively, teams play it so vanilla and basic. I just think it's tough to really judge how an offensive line is coming together. So we're marking time, other than seeing who makes the team, who claims depth spots. Is there a surprise salary cap driven cut here or there? And we'll get to the Texans at the Rams soon enough in early September.
Yeah, I'm interested to see Jaden Higgins, if he has any kind of connection going. You know, he was the first pick. He was a second rounder, but the Texans' first pick this year. I'd like to see if CJ does play a decent amount or even a little, if there's some kind of connection there. With a lot of the rookies, Jalen Noel, too, he looks good. I actually kind of liked him better than Higgins. And then they ended up getting both of them. So I was a happy camper on draft day. But I just want to see that kind of develop. I want to see CJ working with his receivers, seeing that chemistry. And then, man, John Mechie, a lot of people thought he was going to be cut, just, you know, odd man out. And he's been playing really well, especially for him. You saw him make some catches in the preseason game. He's been doing that in camp. Made a couple touchdown catches against Derek Stingley this week. So that would just be a feel-good story, because I've always rooted for Mechie. It's just he's had trouble finding separation, and you know, he had a rough start to his career that we all know about. So I'm really curious to see who the final receivers are going to be kept on this team, because they're going to keep six or seven, and somebody's got to return punts. It's a good problem to have. They have a lot more talent this year.
And just to be comprehensive, our first bite at the apple for the season or preseason and in being comprehensive in terms of the guys who can touch the ball, Christian Kirk, right? They took on in a one-year deal. I mean, you hope that Tank Dell can get back at some point, but there's really no reason to expect it until late 2025, if that, which is the catastrophic nature of blowing out that entire knee. Well, Kirk, he's the speed complement to Nico Collins, who's the field stretcher. If he can draw safety and open up more field for tight ends work in the middle, he can be a name that Texans fans and not just Aggies take to quite nicely.
We'll leave it there. That's going to be it for this episode of Texans on Tap. We'll be back next week, so make sure you subscribe to the channel with those notifications on so you know when new content drops. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon. See you next time, and go Texans.